one.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And 51551 is our text number. Jacqueline, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Who wrote this letter in the middle of the night? And it's an incredible letter. It says, the issue, firstly, I'm writing this letter in the middle of the night. That is how serious I'm taking this. There will be little sleep while this is hanging over our heads. What is hanging over your heads, Jacqueline?
Joe, my son is doing a degree in Turles. He travels from, he goes down every 5 weeks. He's doing it an online course. He's doing his Bachelor of Science online. What it involves is he goes to his local credit union. He takes out enough. He borrows enough to cover each module.
Okay.
He travels every 5 weeks then to Turles. So it's bus airing from Oma to Houston. And then from Houston, he gets a train to Turles. And this is every 5 weeks.
Okay.
It was fine. I mean, he always bought his ticket online before he went, but on this one occasion in February when he hadn't time, he decided to buy it at the, but he had no choice, he had to buy it at the station. He went in at 6:15 in the morning. I don't know what, not too sure what time the actual journey started, but he went on the machine and he tried to put in a student ID, but it wouldn't take it. The card was being rejected. Every time he put in a student number, the card was being rejected. Now, I think the price of the student ticket, don't quote me on this, either $10.99 or $11.99 return from Houston to, and he couldn't get the student ticket, so what he did was he went down and he bought a child's ticket for the same price.
Okay.
Thinking this would cover his journey.
That he'd be, say, he's paying Ian Rodder the same amount of money anyway, and he,
it
had,
was exact same
and he
price,
had his valid student card if he was stopped.
He had,
okay.
He got on the train, never thinking he'd done anything wrong, and fell asleep, and he was awakened by a worker official. From Irish Rail, and they had a chat, and he told him what had happened. And the official said, look, I have to issue you with a fine for this. He says, but do not worry about it. It's fine. You've showed me your card. I understand. Mm-hmm. I write on the back of the fine, allow this chap to travel on his way on his return journey. And he said, all you have to do when you go back is appeal it. It'll be fine. Well, the first fine came through, and he appealed it and told him the story, told him the issue happened on the journey. He was going to college. He attempted to be honest by buying the proper ticket, and he apologised profusely. He said he was sorry for any inconvenience caused, but he actually couldn't see that he'd done anything wrong. His appeal was rejected, so then I tried to appeal it for him. My appeal wasn't even heard. It was basically returned to say, due to data protection, they couldn't talk to me. It had to be my son. So he tried to reappeal it again, and he was basically told that the appeal was final. The first appeal is final. You know, that's it. Pay your fine.
And did they say, Jacqueline, why they rejected his appeal, especially as his...
Well, I have it here. He just said, for some time now, we've been implementing a zero-tolerance policy on persons who are not in possession of a valid ticket, where the facilities are available prior to boarding. Trespass on the railway are in breach. Passengers must retain the ticket. In other words, he didn't have a valid ticket. He had a child's ticket, which is only valid for persons between the ages of 5 and 15. The officer was correct in issuing the fixed payment notice. And the decision of the appeal section is final.
Okay, so what happened? What happened next? Where are we now? Why are you writing letters in the middle of the night?
Yeah, oh, I've tried to explain. We tried to explain to him that we don't have trains in Tyrone. This is the very first ticket my son would ever have purchased at a railway station, ever.
Okay.
Before that and after that, he's never had a problem. It's just this one ticket. But they don't seem to be taking these explanations on board. So we got, anyway, to the post last Saturday morning, the district court a summons to appear in September for a court with, I don't know, complaint made by care of Connolly Station. We just don't know what to do. I mean, we bring, as I said, my husband got up on the Saturday night after receiving this. I mean, there was little sleep, and he got up and he penned a letter to the complainant and said to him, listen, you know, why are you not understanding this? We brought the children up to be truthful, to be respectful, and all their dealings. And I mean, as far as he was concerned, his son did this was truthful. We just don't know what to do next. I mean, do we turn up in court, or do we ask this? Does our son turn up in court? If that's the case, does he need solicitor?
Mm-hmm.
I actually phoned the solicitor then in the local town. She phoned somewhere yesterday and got back to me, and they told me that the chances are they could get court proceedings stopped. To do this, though, they would have to, James would have to pay the initial fine, and he would have to pay court fees, solicitor's fees, and administration fees, which could amount to around €600.
And the initial fine is what, 150 quid, is it? Where's the figure?
Well, I think the initial fine, they were charging for an adult ticket because, so the initial fine was
€135.35. Okay.
So that was the €100 on top of what they felt that he should have paid at the station.
And now it's spiralled out of control, basically.
It has gone mad, yes, it has.
And we attempted to pay the €135.85.
Well, you see, at the start we were, and then my husband said, he's really done nothing wrong here.
Okay.
You know, he's paid his fare.
And he's given the inroad and the amount of money they required for the type of journey
for
he was going to take. The problem was that the ticket that he was holding in his hand was by the way, he still takes up a seat, whether you're a 4-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 12-year-old, a student, an old age pensioner, you still take up a seat. So it's not that he was taking up more space than he was paying for. It's not that he was going on a longer journey than he was paying for. It's not that he was staying on the train longer than he was paying for. It was that the ticket, the bit of paper he had on it, was for the exact amount they asked for his category, but it had a different category on the ticket. So it says here, court number 8, the four courts, I won't give the exact day, but on Dublin 7 on a certain day in September at 10:30, you were required to appear at said sitting and to answer the said complaint from Ian Road Aaron. Taking him to court. And it's pretty specific. You were travelling on board a train between Clondalkin and Fontaine. I presume that's when the inspector got on. Within the Dublin Metropolitan District, that's why it's on in Dublin. And you did fail to comply with a request by an officer employee to produce and deliver up a ticket showing that your fare was paid. His fare was paid.
Yeah.
And the right fare was paid. But what is, he's been told there's incorrect wording on your ticket.
Yeah, well, it's not a valid ticket. And I mean, if you read the section 132, that's what it says, that's word valid. And I think that's why they're taking them to court.
No, but God, I think I'd be a solicitor. Did fail to comply with a request by an officer or employee of Ian Road Air and Irish Rail to produce and deliver up a ticket showing that your fare was paid. There's nothing about validity. He can produce a ticket showing his fare was paid.
Yeah, he did. He did produce the ticket. I mean, he gave him the ticket. He gave him the student card. He filled him in on why he had this ticket in his possession.
He's not accused of fare evasion.
Your
appeal, Ian Road Aaron said he didn't have a ticket for that journey. The charge from the Dublin Metropolitan District Court says that he failed to produce and deliver up a ticket, not a specific type of ticket, a ticket showing that your fare was paid. He can produce a ticket showing his fare was paid, but the ticket has a different wording than Ian Road Aaron demanded because the machine, as often happens, didn't seem to be working.
Well, the machine's working perfectly because I actually phoned the college.
But it wouldn't take his student card.
No, I phoned the college and she said she would check with some of the students, and she did phone me back and say, no, you don't put in the student number that's on your card. You just put in a series of numbers. Well, he didn't know to do that. Yeah. He had the card in his hand and he was putting in the number that was on his student card.
Have you ever been in court before?
Never.
Has your son ever been in court before?
Never.
Have you ever had to employ a solicitor for court before and never got to court?
Never, ever. This is the thing.
So no wonder you're up the walls and writing, pleading. That letter you were writing was pleading with Ian Road Aaron to understand your situation.
Yes.
Because you're
hitting the brick wall all the time.
Because you're petrified of court.
Yes.
And I'm sure he is as well.
Without a doubt, yeah. You know, he keeps saying to me, Mum, stop worrying about it. There's nothing we can do about it at this stage. I'm just going to have to go. And I said, but there has to be something. that we can do to stop this.
Yeah, but the other thing, as we discovered with that awful case with young Keith, well, he's in his late 20s, young Keith, born from the south of Ireland, who had a charge years and years and years ago of possession of a small amount of cannabis. He's now been ejected from his home in the United States and his family because that conviction stood on his record, and it could be the same. I'm not trying to worry you.
I know that.
No one wants a conviction on their record. Barry, good afternoon. Hello, Barry. 51551 is our text number. You there, Barry?
I am indeed.
Okay, Barry, go ahead. Let me hear your phone line. What happened? You had a very similar experience.
Their experience, the train very often, but I had calls to use 18 months ago.
Okay, terrible and, line, Barry. Terrible line. Sorry, not a train line, but a terrible phone line. Back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Okay, we're talking to Jacqueline. Her son, a student, lives in Omagh, the beautiful town of Omagh, and was travelling to Thurles. It's obviously a bus to Dublin, no train from Omagh. In Road Air in Dublin, Thurles return, tried to use a student card at the machine. Had never used a machine before. Saw that the student rate was $11.99. It did accept, which was the exact same rate as the child amount. So he pressed the child button and got it, paid his £12 and got his ticket, and then he was stopped on the train. He explained it to the inspector. The inspector said, no bother, I'll have to take your details, but just appeal and explain and you'll be fine. But he's not fine. He could be down £600-700, and he's up in court in a few weeks' time. Okay, Barry, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
What happened?
I don't use the train very often, but I was using it about 18 months ago, and it was a very early train. I think it was 6:45 in the morning, and there was a number of people in front of me, and everybody was having trouble using the machine. They couldn't get the tickets, couldn't buy the tickets. So we wandered out onto the platform, and I was thinking that I could buy a ticket on the train because the machine wasn't working. And the inspector asked me for a ticket. I told him I didn't have a ticket. And he informed me that I was the only person on the train without a ticket. So I queried how that could be, because there was a number of people who didn't buy tickets. And he told me that he had met them on the platform and bought the tickets. Now, I didn't see him on the platform. So, like that lady, he said, you can appeal. So I did the following morning, and I didn't hear back for 3 weeks. And I got the standard letter. It sounds like a very similar letter to the letter the lady got, saying my appeal was rejected. So I said, that's disappointing. Can I see the appeal? So didn't get a response for a week or two, and I wrote back and I said, can I see the appeal? And then they said, you're going to have to contact our data information officer, and they gave me the wrong address. This was going on for a number of weeks. Meanwhile, I was getting letters with the fine increasing maybe 20 euros ago. It was up to about 150 euros. So in the end, I finally got the appeal, which was three scraps of paper. One was like a printout from a machine. One was a barely legible, like a post-it note, and a copy of the actual ticket. So I wrote back and I said, how is this an appeal, or how does this constitute, or where does this take my case or my point into account? So didn't get a response. And eventually I was summoned, and so I decided I would go to court and tell the judge my story, because I felt there was no appeal process, frankly, and asking people to appeal. I mean, that lady's son put his case forward, and it appears, just like in my case, nothing was taken into account. So I decided I would go. So I turned up in court on the day, and I couldn't say my name, and I rang the solicitors. Sorry. A week before I was due in court, I kind of chickened out, and I said I'd just pay the fine. So I rang Aaron Rod Aaron, and they said they wanted 300 euros at this point. So I said, no, I'll see you in court. So I went, but the solicitor had made a mistake on the summons and had summoned me to the wrong court. So it was struck out. But I suppose listening to that lady's story, it just seems like they give you these tickets, ask you to appeal it. And I don't believe there's any appeal process.
And Jacqueline, the letter that was written in the middle of the night, is that the appeal as such?
No, this was the final. This is just after he's been rejected. This was just a final plea to the man in question, the complainant at the station. to say, look, could you just reconsider this? Can you not read, you know, can you not look at the facts mm-hmm. that we've given you? And, I mean, it's just, to me, it seems to be an awful, awful waste of public money, an awful waste of public time, of court time. The whole thing just seems... Do you know what? And actually, you know, if it wasn't so serious, it's actually funny. That this could happen.
Okay. But I mean, well, yeah, but I take your point that it wasn't a series, the way it spiraled out of control could be funny. But like, what wasn't funny is the live line last Monday. You'll read about it today in the Irish Times, the same train. But live line last Monday with the callers from the Westport train on Sunday, which was savagely full. And but Éireann Road Éireann refused to accept that it was overloaded, because they basically say any train, they say there's no loading issues on trains. In other words, if as many people as possible squeeze into a carriage and the gaps between the carriage and into the toilet, which five of them were standing there last Sunday, once they can squeeze into the train is safe. In other words, there's no number on the door. I'm just saying this is, and we have a phone call from Killarney about the Killarney train yesterday and how overcrowded that is. But Éireann Road Éireann line about the numbers on the trains are, as many people as possible, if you can squeeze onto the train, you're on the train. And that's you're not guaranteed a seat. And no matter the loading on a train, it is safe because they're so sturdy. But that's not what people are complaining about. Okay, Jacqueline, let us know what happens. We'll get on to Éireann Road Éireann. I think common sense will prevail. I hope it will prevail. And Barry, you pursued it. By the way, you said at one stage, a few days before court, you chickened out and you rang them. Barry, yeah,
I rang and decided, look, if it went against me, I didn't want...
Okay, so what happened when you rang them?
I rang them and I contacted them a couple of times and they were always very curt, I felt. And in any case, he was there saying, well, you owe us €300 now. And I said, how could it be 300? It started off at 100. And he said, well, we had to hire a solicitor, which I suppose is fair enough. But, so at €300, I said, no, look, I'm willing to stick my chance.
Okay,
okay. Because they don't have an appeal process.
Okay. Okay, Jacqueline, thanks indeed, and Barry also.